All Things Are Possible, Part 24. Again, our base scriptures have been Mark chapter 10, verse 27, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible, and all things are possible to him that believes, in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. And then we've also established or used as a base text Mark 11, 23, where Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. And that phrase, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, we've been looking at that, and we've talked about what doubt is, because if Jesus said don't have it, then I want to know what it is so I don't have it. Bless God. And we've seen that doubt is wavering and hesitation. And it's interesting that if you'll remember, you'll go back and study it, the word hesitation actually includes the word fear and anxiety. And then we said that it's indecision and being irresolute and unresolved and harboring questions of doubt concerning the promises of God, and that it can also be strife and unforgiveness. And we looked at pride, and we saw how important humility is in our faith walk. And then we also began looking at fear, because that's a big hindrance. And we're not to have fear. And we looked at Webster's dictionary definition of the word and saw some scripture, how it connects with a lot of scriptures. But he said that it's a painful emotion or passion excited by an expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. And he also goes on to say that fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to befall us. And, you know, that's where worry and anxiety comes in. And we saw that that's another definition of the word fear. And we're going to get to that before long. It's to feel the painful apprehension of some impending evil, to be afraid of, to consider or expect with emotions of alarm or solicitude. Like, for example, people fear the approach of an enemy or the approach of a storm. Well, Psalms chapter 23 and verse 1 says, I will fear no evil. It's further on in that Psalm 23. I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, that's a powerful revelation of why we should not fear, because God is with me in power. We should believe that. And we have divine protection, we saw yesterday from Psalms 91, which is a powerful protection psalm that we should all be standing on every day of our lives, so that we can live out the full number of our days and we don't die before our time, and we can fulfill the will of God here in the earth and fulfill the plan of God for our lives. Webster goes on to say that it also means to affright, to terrify, to drive away or prevent approach by fear or by a scarecrow. And he says that this seems to be the primary meaning, but is now obsolete. And that was during his time. But that was the primary meaning of the word. And he goes on to say, to be in apprehension of evil, to be afraid, to feel anxiety on account of some expected evil. But now I'm gonna turn to Merriam-Webster, okay? And this dictionary that says that it means to frighten, to feel fear, to be afraid of, to expect with alarm. Now listen to this, because it goes on to say, fear the worst. Now, that's totally different than the love of God, because the love of God, you believe the best. You believe in God's goodness. Amen. It says that you believe in the love that God has towards us in 1 John chapter 4. And then it says to be afraid or apprehensive. For example, when people say that they feared for their lives. And synonyms are bother, worry, fret, fuss, stew, stress, sweat, trouble. Fear is an unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. an instance of this emotion, a state marked by this emotion, anxious concern, solicitude, you keep hearing this over and over again, reason for alarm, danger, and the examples that are used here, he was trembling with fear, unable to walk the streets without fear of being mugged. They regarded their enemies with fear and hatred. But now listen to this. This was interesting. Middle Old English, it means, comes from a word that means sudden danger. Old High German comes from a word that means ambush. And in Latin, peril. And the same with the Greek. And there's some synonyms here that we've already seen over and over again. Alarm, anxiety, dread, fearfulness, fright, horror, panic, scare, terror, trepidation. But now this is what I wanted to get to because this is powerful. Merriam-Webster's dictionary has a synonym discussion for the words fear, dread, fright, alarm, panic, terror, trepidation, mean painful agitation in the presence of anticipation of danger. And now here's the synonym discussion. Fear, and it says, is the most general term and implies anxiety and usually loss of courage, like fear of the unknown is one example. Dread usually adds the idea of intense reluctance to face or meet a person or situation and suggests aversion as well as anxiety. Okay? Now, you need to, you know, this loss of courage and anxiety, dread, fright implies the shock of sudden startling fear. Like, for example, when you're awakened suddenly and you're in fright or somebody scares you or frightens you suddenly, well, that shouldn't happen with the believer. And if it does, we can overcome it, thank God, through the word and the name and the blood and loving one another and perfecting the love of God in us that casts out all fear. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 18. Amen. Alarm suggests a sudden and intense awareness of immediate danger, as in view the situation with alarm. Now watch this. Panic implies unreasoning and overmastering fear causing hysterical activity. Like, for example, the news caused widespread panic. Terror implies the most extreme degree of fear where people become immobilized by terror. And trepidation adds to dread the implications of timidity, trembling with fear, and hesitation. Huh. So like I said, you know, this is really directly connected with what we've studied on doubt. And we need to get rid of it. We're not supposed to have it. Jesus paid an awesome price to deliver us from the bondage of the fear of death, it says in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15. And let me add one more scripture to that. Right in line with that is Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. Now, this is what you should be believing and standing on. Thank God, because we've been delivered from the bondage of fear. And now in Romans chapter 8, I'm looking for it, verse 15, listen what it says. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Glory to God. We didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. We received the spirit that brought us into the family of God. And thank God we have a new nature on the inside, and fear should not be dominating us any more than sin should not be dominating us. And Jesus paid the same price to deliver us from fear that he paid to deliver us from sickness and disease and bondage and poverty and shame and guilt. Thank God we've also been redeemed from spiritual death, and we've been redeemed from fear. Amen. Now, like I said, Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. I got to read that again. There was something else the Holy Ghost was saying in there, and he'll bring it right back to me. But Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, thank you, Lord, he did. And I'll give it to you in just a second. He said, we didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. Well, what kind of spirit is that? Well, we saw it in the last two sessions. We're going to see it right now. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. Amen. And thank God for the Holy Spirit. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. But now what kind of spirit did he give us? But a power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank God. That should be on your lips. You don't have a spirit of fear. You got a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And that's what you should have operating in you. Now, do you remember what God said to Abraham? This was the way God introduced the covenant that he was to make with Abraham. Amen. In the book of Genesis chapter 15. Actually, before his name was even changed to Abraham, God said to him, do not be afraid. In Genesis chapter 15, 1, Abram, I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. And he's our shield. He's our protection. There's no need to be afraid. Other translations said, do not fear. Or others say, fear not, as it says in the Hebrew. Amen. I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. Glory to God. And you should read that in the Amplified Bible sometime because it's powerful. Glory. Now, let me end with this scripture in Mark chapter 5 for this study. This particular portion of this study. We're going to come back tomorrow with some more. But you remember the story of Jairus? His little daughter was dying, and he came to Jesus, and he fell at his feet and said to him, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. And, you know, Jesus went with him. I mean, he didn't think twice about it because he spoke in faith. He believed that. You come lay your hands on her, she'll be healed and she'll live. Amen. So Jesus went along there, and then we have the story that interrupts the whole thing. But it's a marvelous story of the woman with the issue of blood that touched Jesus' garment. Power went out of Jesus and healed him. And he stopped and said, you know, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this. But the woman came, knowing what was done in her, how she was healed of the issue of blood that had practically killed her. And she was suffering with it for 12 years and couldn't get better. Had gone to all kinds of doctors and kept getting worse. But it says the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened in her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Amen. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Well, while he was still speaking to her, they came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the master any further? Now watch this in Mark chapter 5, verse 36. You need to underline this in your Bible. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, other translation says he ignored the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, or fear not. The New King James Bible says, do not be afraid, only believe. This is important because it tells us that you have to have fear out in order to believe. But not only does it tell us that, is that one will be left out in exclusion of the other. You, fear and faith won't operate in the same heart. You have to get that. If you're afraid, you can't believe. If you believe, then that means there's no fear. Now, you got to get this straight. Now, fear may be attacking your mind, but there's no fear in your spirit. You've removed the fear. You've taken a stand on the word, and you refuse to be anxious or worried or full of fear. You won't allow it. You won't permit it. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Now, if Jesus said, do not be afraid, then that means that we can be fear-free. Amen. If he said, only believe, then that means that we can only believe. It would be unfair for him to tell us to fear not if we couldn't fear not. Thank God. It would be unfair for him to tell us only believe if we could not do that. But thank God we can. And then Jesus permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, because, out of that whole crowd, the only one that received was the woman that had the issue of blood. The rest of them were touching him, but they'd have got nothing. So Jesus separated from all that doubt and unbelief, and he permitted nobody to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And now I'm reading from Mark chapter 5, verse 38, verse 39. And he came in and said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. Well, he was talking by faith. He was calling the things that are not as though they were. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. But when he had put them all outside, sometimes, you got to get rid of the doubt and unbelief in order to minister to people. He took the father and the mother of the child, because it was their child, and they had authority over the child. And that's a whole nother subject. But sometimes you can believe for other people under the right conditions. And those who were with him, and entered where the child was laying, and he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talita kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, and she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement, and so on and so forth. But she was healed. But what was the key? Do not fear, only believe. Amen. And you can do the same thing today. You can believe and not be afraid in the name of Jesus. Amen. We'll come back tomorrow with some more teaching.